Hi, friends. Welcome to another episode of the Yelp Tampa Bay podcast. My name is Brett Nels, and I recently just took a little mini road trip down to a land called Sarasota, Florida, and I'm drinking a beer before noon at the lovely Big Top Brewing Company. I'm sitting down with Mike Bisaha, the CEO of Big Top Brewing Company, and the marketing director, Brett Berhenny. Did I get those last names right?
You got it.
All right, sweet. So I want to ask you guys a lot of questions about Big Top and the local beer scene and whatnot, but first we have to kind of promote this big event that we're pretty proud of and that you guys are going to be a big part of, and that's the Yelper Party. It's happening April 4th. It's a Monday night, the best Monday night ever, from 6:30 to 9:30 at the T-Pep and Hospitality Center. It's sort of in the East Tampa area off of 50th Street. If you want to find more information about that, you can RSVP at yelp.com/events or just follow Yelp Tampa Bay on Facebook and Twitter. We've been blasting it out like crazy over the last couple of weeks. Couple keynotes. You must RSVP to the event by Saturday at 6:30. That is 48 hours before the event begins, and that's when RSVPs close. And your RSVP is only good for you, not a plus one. So if you want your BFF or your coworker or whoever to come to the event, please ask them to RSVP themselves. Now that we got that out of the way, I do want to talk to you about the Yelper Party and kind of your involvement in it. So last year's Yelper Party, also at the T-Pep and Hospitality Center, you guys were sort of co-manning the beer area with Paradise Brewing Company. They couldn't make it this year. They have a lot going on. And so I actually reached out to a couple of other breweries, and they weren't able to do it either. And before I started like a real mass outreach, I presented you with the idea of like, do you just want to kind of do this thing solo? And you guys jumped at the opportunity, and I really appreciate that. But I guess from the other side of the fence, what is the reason that you jumped at the opportunity? Because a lot of people may not know, any product at the Yelp event is donated. It's not something that we pay you guys for. And so I just want to get your perspective on kind of like the marketing angle of why you want to be a part of this.
Yeah, we had a blast going there last year. You know, there was the food there is incredible. The beer was great. It was just a good time last year. We've been doing incredibly well in the Tampa Bay area. So the idea for us to be able to bring up some of the limited release beers that might not always see it up into the Tampa or St. Pete area was intriguing to us. You know, we're known for our limited release beers. So we found the opportunity to be able to bring those up to a bunch of people that are going to enjoy good food and good beer. And we're happy to be there.
Very nice. It was definitely a crazy experience last year, and it will be this year. Can you talk about some of the different beers that you'll be having on tap there?
Yeah, so this year we are bringing up Hawaiian Lion, which is our coffee coconut porter.
Which I'm drinking right now.
Drinking that right now. That's the best beer to start with in the morning. Why not have your coffee and a beer? With that beer in particular, we use 55 pounds of local coffee from here in Sarasota called Java Dog, and he actually roasts the coffee with coconut 30 minutes before he brings it to the brewery for us to put it in. We also use 150 pounds of shredded coconut per 30 barrels. Mm. It's personally my favorite beer when we have it out. That's February and March's release, so we'll have that up there. We also did a beer with the Orioles. It's a strawberry saison where we had 500 pounds of strawberries go into the batch. Just light, super easy to drink. And some of our core beers, a Circus City IPA will be there. It's our English-style IPA. Just got a silver at the World Beer Championships, along with Ashley Gang, which is our Imperial IPA, which also got a silver at the World Beer Championships. So we're bringing up some of the limited release and some of the cores, and just going to have a good time and eat good food and have a party, and no better place to have it than the hospitality center up there at Pepin.
Absolutely. It's a great venue, and we hope to see many of you listening there. Come say hi to myself and Mike and Brett, the other Brett. So with that being said, I do want to ask you a little bit more about just the relationship and dynamic that you've had with Yelp. So first of all, what were you doing before you were a CEO of a brewery?
I was in real estate and construction. I built houses and sold houses. And then got a wild hair at my ass, and me and three other friends got together, and we decided to open a brewery. And, you know, when we started, there were no breweries planned or in Sarasota. So it was uncharted territory, and even the county didn't know really how to work with us. But we found our way through, and things are going incredibly well.
So back then, when you're envisioning, like, you know, where am I going to put the brewery? Who am I going to hire? What kind of equipment? What kind of beer are we going to do? There was this thing that you may not have, like, put a ton of thought into, and now I'm sure it has to consume at least somewhat of your time, which is the dynamic of Yelp and people in the community giving you feedback. So how's that been? I mean, do you guys check your reviews every day? Do you check them every week? Do you respond to them? Kind of tell me that side of that.
We do. I usually don't handle that side of it. Usually Brett will get in there and take a look and make sure that everything is going in the way that we want it to go. You're absolutely right. You just the ability for people to go onto an app on their phone or on their computer and pull up an idea of whether what type of food or where they want to go, what type of entertainment they're looking for, and then be directed into into several other options and automatically have ratings and reviews and information on that. It's a huge convenience for a lot of people, and it's great for us because it's a new way for us to get people coming into our tasting room or maybe trying our beer out in the market. So it's been an incredible asset to us.
So you mentioned one of the appeals of Sarasota was just that there wasn't a lot, you know, there weren't any breweries here at the time. Right. Did you live in the area before?
Yeah, so I'm a local. I've been here all my life. This is my hometown. My wife and I, for instance, like every Wednesday, we would actually go to Tampa to go to Cigar City. And that was like our thing when she was off work on Wednesdays. We would go up there as much as we could or as many times a month as we could and just enjoy great beer. And at that point, there was never even a thought of opening a brewery. It was just we were going up there to enjoy good beer. And then, you know, the snowball effect of when you drink with friends comes into play. And when you sit down and you're Seth and I were drinking and Johnny and I were drinking and we said, man, you know, how cool would it be one day if one of these were ours? You know, if one of these were, I was probably drinking White Oak because I absolutely love it. Whenever you could get it, you go and you grab it. Saying, man, how cool would it be one day if one of these were ours? And Seth kind of chuckled and immediately said, let's call Josh. Josh was at that time with Publix for 29 and a half years and had been homebrewing for 25 years. So, you know, we went out to his house and we started drinking some of the beer and it snowballed from there. And, you know, 3 years, not even 3 years later, here we are, you know, and we're doubled capacity and we've got more tanks on the way. And we never thought we would have the support that we do from our home market and from the outside markets. It's been great.
So you weren't into the home brewing thing yourself before this?
I was more of the quality control drinker. you know, brewing is a science. You know, brewmasters, and head brewers, you've got to take your hat off to them. What they can do with yeast, water, and hops and barley, it's quite impressive to come up with some of the flavors. And like I was telling you earlier, you know, we're known for our limited release stuff. You know, last year we did over 160 different beers. This year we'll do almost 190. We release two beers a week in the tasting room. And you know, we come up with some of the absolute absurd things people would never have thought of. But to us, it's, well, let's give it a shot. If it doesn't work, we're only 30 gallons out, and you know, but if it does, it sometimes can be quite impressive.
That kind of touches on one of the other questions I wanted to ask, which is, can you take me through the process of just the brainstorm of like, let's try this crazy flavor or type of beer, all the way up to where it's actually on your taps?
Sometimes it's not even much of a process. Sometimes it's just maybe, you know, our brewmaster will eat something and say, man, I can make this into a beer. You know, we did a beer for World of Beer where he went, literally called Publix and said, I need you to make me a chocolate cake. I need you to make it just like this. And it ended up becoming a mint chocolate cake stout. And it was incredible. It, you know, the simplest things, whether it's just cake or fruit or whatever is in his head that day. We're getting ready to tap this Saturday for our two-year anniversary party here, a Boston Cream Pale Ale.
Wow.
Sometimes the more wild, the more fun, you know, because it's a beer that people, you can't get everywhere. You can literally, you may have it here, or you may have it at one of our select accounts that get some of these super limited release beers. And when it's gone, it's gone. The likelihood that it comes back is sometimes slim to none because we're already on to the next one. We're already thinking, and people are posting on our Facebook. You know, we do a What Do We Brew Next contest every month where we just throw it out to Facebook and say, what do you guys want us to brew? And it's completely controlled by Facebook. Whoever gets the most likes then goes into the semifinals. And then whoever gets the number one votes there actually they come in, they win, they brew it. And they get to tap it, and they get to bring their friends in and drink it. So it's a process of just creativity and love and passion for making beer and making interesting beer and just basically changing people's perception, because the craft beer is still really, it's new. You know, the reality is it's relatively small, or it's incredibly small based on the mass spectrum of beer consumption. And some people have a perceived perception of craft beer that it's all hoppy and it's all bitter and that they're not going to like it. So we may get somebody in here who's a Bud Light drinker. Well, that's great. You know, Bud Light's what's keeping the trucks for our distributors running right now. So we're okay with that. But you know, maybe that's all that they drink. So maybe that's all that they think that they're going to like, because in their head, every other craft beer is hoppy and bitter, until they sit down and they maybe drink a Boston Cream Pie Pale Ale and say, wait a second, that was really interesting. And then they move on to a stout or a porter or a pale ale or a wit. And then they slowly start to grow. And before you know it, they're saying, man, this is cool. This one, it's made, a mile away from me. So it's local. So I'm drinking or I'm consuming something that I enjoy, and it's local, So it's interesting.
How often does somebody come in here and say, all I drink is Bud Light?
You would probably be surprised. We have a lot of people, they might not have come on their own, but maybe they came in with a group of friends, and that's the first thing that they say is, okay, well, I only drink Bud Light. And that's all fine and well. Hey, we all start somewhere, We all start somewhere. And so they may say, I drink Bud Light. And our bartenders are great with it. I mean, that's you don't ridicule them. You don't make fun of them. You say, cool, well, let's try this. Start here. Try our Conch Republic, which is our new key lime wheat. Or try our Belgian wit, which is, it's light and it's citrusy. And it's a good, a good easy way to start getting into craft beer. And before you know it, those guys are saying, man, I really enjoy that, and they're buying it at Publix or Total Wine or Winn-Dixie or ABC, and they're coming in on a more regular basis. And before you know it, they're drinking Ashley Gang, which is 120 IBUs and 10%. Wow. So it we all start somewhere.
You have more patience than me, I think. When I have a coworker up in Virginia Beach, and he only drinks Bud Light, and it's hard not to ridicule him mercilessly every single time that we are together at one of our conferences. So with the Boston Cream Pie thing, mm-hmm. did your head brewer just like eat a Boston Cream Pie a week ago and now he's like in the process of releasing it?
Honestly, I don't know the story behind that. Yeah. I looked on the tank and said, oh, we've got a Boston Cream Pie coming. Probably one of the funniest stories was with Dean Lambert, who's one of the owners of the World of Beers here locally. Where apparently him and Josh were drinking one night and became intoxicated at World of Beer, and this was before Thanksgiving, and a joke was made. I bet you can't make a turducken beer, and Josh was like, oh no, I definitely can. So Josh goes home and he buys the turkey, the duck, and the stuffing, and he reduces it down in a crock pot to basically it's just like gelatin mold, and he throws that into the boil. And two, three weeks later, he says, hey, here's the turducken beer. And I was like, you actually made that? And he goes, yeah, I made it, of course. So I called Dean. And I said, hey, this beer is going to be ready for you. You want to get the information so you can have a new loyalty point. And he starts laughing. He said, that was a joke. I didn't think he would actually do it. And I'll tell you what, it's one of Brett's favorite beers. There's no denying what it was. Is it going to be a beer that I'm going to have pint after pint? Absolutely not. But I'll tell you what. He nailed it. There was stuffing, there was turkey, there was chicken, and you could taste it. It was
really,
it was insane. It was absolutely insane. It went incredibly fast. I want to say World of Beer kicked it virtually instantly when they put it on, because it's so intriguing. Like I said, it's that kind of beer that when you see it up there, you're like, wait, really? Like, really? And then you try it, and you just like, I just started laughing when I drank it. That's all I could do was just start laughing. Like, you've got to be kidding me right now. Like just exactly what you say is in this beer. I can taste it. So it was interesting. It was funny.
I can't imagine drinking a beer and saying there's hints of turkey and duck.
The biggest part was the stuffing. Part was the stuffing. You got the stuffing, and we see how he does things. Certain times here, when he'll be out there and he'll bring in buckets upon buckets of pumpkin or whatever it may be that he's had at his house and he's been cooking and reducing down for the past day. Or last week we did our first run for this year's season's a Hotter Blonde, which is our honey jalapeno blonde ale, where we had to put 55 gallons of honey into it, and we had, I think it was close to 7,000 jalapenos that I got to cut in half. And grill. Fortunately, one of my good friends has a trailer grill, so he brought in a 12-foot grill that we could grill all the jalapenos on, and throw them into the boil. But you know, it's those unique ingredients and things that people would never expect to be in beer that when you put it in there and you nail it, people, it's something that they remember. You know, it's something that people are really like, I cannot believe I drank that and I legitimately enjoyed it. And then when people find out that we actually use the ingredients that we say, and we, you know, time and time again, we prove it to people when they come into our brewery and Josh is back there chopping up peppers or doing whatever. We go to the chocolate bar company in Gulfgate and get hundreds of pounds of chocolate and peanut butter for Declan's. I mean, the list goes just on and on and on. And it's, I think, one of the reasons, especially in our home market, why we've found the following that we have. Is because people are intrigued. They want to be here on a Tuesday and Friday. They want to see what we're going to do next because they leave with a smile on their face saying, I can't believe I just drank that, and I really enjoyed it.
All right, if you're not convinced at this point, I mean, for me, this was driveway to driveway, 51 miles from my house in Carrollwood. But, man, if if it wasn't quite such a journey, I would definitely be one of those people.
Sure.
But we have plenty of people listening to this that maybe live a few miles closer than 51. And again, you'll get to try their product at the Yelper party this coming Monday, and really get to see, especially this. I can personally vouch for this Hawaiian Lion Coconut Porter. It is probably the best porter I've ever had, and I'm not just saying that because you're on my podcast.
Yeah, no, that's why I said it. That's that. For all the beers that we make right now, that is my personal favorite. I love when it comes out, the nose on it, the coffee and the coconut come together just so incredibly well. Yeah, we're quite proud of that one. Hotter Blonde, which is coming up soon, I can let Brett talk a little bit to that. That's his personal favorite. And the first 30 barrels is in the tank, and once we get some more tanks freed up and we can get it in again. We'll be doing it a few more times to make sure we keep up, and that'll go into bottles. And Hawaiian Lion's in bottles also. So you can actually, up in the Tampa area, there's 18 accounts, I think, 18 to 19 accounts that get Hawaiian Lion that have it on. You know, you can call your local watering hole, if you will, and say, hey, are you guys going to get this beer? You know, ask for local. You know, that's all we can convey to people, whether it's Big Top or whether it's your local, whatever's local to you. I mean, we're Florida. Everyone here, you know, if you're a Florida brewery, to me, that's local. And, you know, we're the guys out here fighting the fight every day, trying to put out a product that represents either our hometown and our state well.
Yeah, and I do want to touch on kind of that topic, but, you know, I'd love Brett to be able to chat because I did introduce him, and I don't want him to just be the quiet guy who, there you go, yeah, you can just shift that mic. And so you want to hit on the beer he mentioned. What was it called again?
So the next one we have coming out is a Hotter Blonde.
Yes.
It is a honey jalapeno blonde ale. And initially, you know, and there are other pepper beers out there. And it's unique because when people first see pepper in a beer, they think, oh, my God, it's going to be spicy. Me, for instance, I when I order my wings, I do a mild. You know, I'm not a spicy food guy by any means. But it's unbelievable, the balance, which I think is sort of a consistent thing through all of our beers. The balance of the honey with the jalapenos, you just get a little tinge of the pepper, but it's mostly the flavor, and then that honey comes through and washes it out. It's just, it's my favorite beer.
Very cool. I'm also not a spicy fan myself, so that's good to know. You mentioned to me earlier, and you, Mike, you touched on this, the beer you did for the Orioles, and you guys do some specialty beers. Do you want to kind of go a little more in depth on that?
Yeah, so something that we've really pushed the limit with and really I think makes Big Top is the collaborations that we do, not necessarily with other breweries, but with other businesses that we do business with, so other restaurants and bars. A lot of these beers, the Hawaiian Lion, for instance, that was actually, its inception started at a place called the Flying Pig in St. Pete, and they came to us with an idea, and they've been carrying our beer for a while, and they're really, really good guys over there. Joe's the owner, a really, really good guy. And they said, hey, we have this idea for this porter. We want to use, initially it started with Kona Coffee from Hawaii, and they wanted to do that with coconut. And we said, absolutely, you know, you guys are awesome. Let's brew a beer together. And it just turned into this awesome, amazing beer that people love. And that's something that we do. So the Orioles, that was something they said, you know, we're spring training. We're, you know, the Orioles are a very, very big part of Sarasota. And we wanted to be a part of that. And they said, this is what we would like you to make. We did a few test runs. They said, this is awesome. And we scaled it up. Another one was for the circus. So Anyone driving by to Sarasota, oftentimes you'll see heading down 75 a massive circus tent. We have, it's called Circus Sarasota, and they're actually a not-for-profit. And there's a lot of great performers that are there, and they came to us and said, "Hey, you know, you want to be a part of this? Absolutely. You know, we love the history of this city. You know, big top under the big top, like we kind of like to say." And we made a honey blonde ale. You know, it's just a great, light, easy drinking, perfect for the circus, if you will. So that's a little bit of what we do, and we're definitely going to keep going with it. Another one was up in Tampa, actually, Brandon specifically. It was O'Brien's. So for St. Patty's Day, they came to us and said, "Hey, we have this great idea. We'd kind of like to replace Guinness with a local stout. What do you guys think of that?" And, you know, we had a great relationship with them before, and we said, absolutely. It was the first time we had really scaled up on the big scale for a custom beer. We have a pilot system, about one barrel, so it creates about a few slim kegs. But on the 30-barrel system, I mean, we're talking at least 25 to 30 half barrels on the low end. So they came to us, and they said, "We want this Irish whiskey stout." So I sourced the whiskey. We got some cool sort of oak spirals that we soaked the whiskey in first, and then we dumped it into the beer to let the beer age on that. And it turned out unbelievable. I mean, we did a side-by-side with the Guinness that day for St. Patty's Day, and it was no comparison. People loved it, and we ended up selling, I think, about 14 half barrels, full kegs, that day alone of it. So we really like to push that custom beer approach. And
yeah, to outshine Guinness on St. Patrick's Day, and to have a bar ask specifically, like, "We would like to throw our Guinness into the garbage today." Mm-hmm. And the thing that, like, even amateur beer drinkers come to the bar for, that's really cool.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I don't know who's better to answer this one, so feel free to divvy it up. But you talked about sort of the relationship of, hey, all craft beer breweries need to kind of team up and sort of, you know, act as a unit instead of act as competition. My question is, do you think that there is such a thing as the craft beer bubble bursting? Do you think that there is a point where there are too many local breweries to the point where it's watered down? I have my answer that Brett just said, absolutely not, and I agree, but I'm just curious what you guys think of that.
Well, I mean, in perspective, in our home market, in our local area, they're still not even in the realm of the amount of breweries that there are in other states. You know, I think if opening a brewery and you have these massive goals that you feel that you're going to need to hit in year one, two, and three, and you're coming out swinging, you know, trying to do 10,000 barrels a year, I think you need to get more perspective on the market and what's going on. There's a lot of breweries in other states that are small. Maybe they run a 5-barrel system, and they might send out a handful of kegs here and there, but their goal is to offer their beer in the tasting room and kind of keep it niche. And I think that's great. And, you know, you never know what you're going to find in some of these breweries. We love going around to other breweries and drinking the beer. There's absolutely a camaraderie that goes around. I mean, there's so many breweries that have helped us along the way. You know, when you're opening a brewery and you have no idea, and the reality is, I mean, we didn't come from a professional brewing background. So I always say we found every rock that we could, and we stumbled in every way that we could when we first started out. But it's that perseverance that drive that will push you through that. And we look back and we laugh at, remember when we did this, or remember when we did that? And it's like, man, look how much better we've become. And that's literally our goal every day, is how can we be better? And that's when people ask me, you know, how are things going? Things really are going incredibly well, but every day we get better, and every day we can get better. And that's our goal, is to constantly get better. But also, we want to represent ourselves in a way with other breweries that we can be proud of, and we can say, yeah, we know, we absolutely, you know, for us it was Cigar City. Those guys were great, especially in our canning line. You know, we could pick up the phone and those guys would answer, and they would say, "Bring your cans up. We'll do this. We'll test this. We can do this." And to us, that was huge. I mean, you were in our minds, you know, we're the little guys, and these are the legends of the town, you know, and they're taking the time to help us with, you know, what might be silly to them that we didn't know, but they were taking the time. And so for us, it's now the way. At any time, we can repay that. And there's several other local breweries, and it's a proud moment when I get a call from a reporter saying, "Hey, you know, I've been talking to these other local breweries and that are opening up, and they keep mentioning your name." And I'm like, "Yeah, that's great. You know, I said it, and we all mean it." you know, anything we can ever do to help out another brewery that's opening up, we're willing to do, because we remember that road. We remember when we were first starting out and what we needed, and man, how things could have been different if we had that little bit of information, or, you know, if we had done this in a different way or not bought this and bought that. There's just so many different things that, you know, if we can save somebody headache, what goes around comes around. I mean, that's the absolute truth. I mean, there's going to be a time when I need to pick up the phone and call maybe one of the breweries that just opened up, and say, hey, I'm short on this. You got any grain, or, you know, you have this, and I know with confidence that there will be, if they have it, it's an absolute, yeah, you got it, man. You, what can we do to help you? You bet. It's the little things. I mean, you know, it is different. You know, it's a different business where you look at other businesses and it's all competition. I mean, we are out there all kind of looking for the same tap handles for the most part. I mean, we want to kind of chip into the red and the blue and the Miller. We want to try to get into, you know, some of those tap handles as craft grows. But we want to do it in a respectable way, and we want to do it alongside the other craft, because the reality is the more people drink craft, the more these breweries are going to find success, and the more just good beer is going to be out there and consumed, and these retailers are going to realize, man, you know, this isn't a fad. People are really going after this craft, and maybe my margins are better on craft. Maybe, you know, maybe I don't have to sell a beer for $3. Maybe I can sell it for $5, and maybe the consumer will gravitate towards that. There's a reason so many craft bars are popping up. There's a reason Total Wine and ABC and all these places are doing incredibly well. There's a reason why Publix, is their craft section is constantly growing. And Publix is making us work right now. I'll tell you what, they're making us work, and we are just fine with it.
Are you across Publix's in just this region, or all the way up throughout Tampa Bay?
So actually the entire Lakeland division. So it's basically north, Lakeland all the way down to, on this coast, all the way down to Naples. Most of them, we ask our distributors to kind of hand select the stores, because, you know, there's definitely a capacity issue. We are in the midst of our third expansion, so we're waiting on the new tanks to get here so we can kind of keep up. I mean, we've been doing late night canning runs a couple times a week. I mean, we can during the day, and then we switch over and we can at night, and, you know, kind of have to ration it off between kegs and cans to make sure that not just Publix, but all of our suppliers don't feel shorted. And our distributors, you know, we've got a great relationship with our distributors. You know, Pepin is one of them, where we're going to have the party on Monday night. Those guys are great. They're incredibly easy to work with. They've been really, really good to us. So, you know, we don't want to let them down. You know, it's not just a matter of us shipping beer up to them and saying good luck. I mean, it's absolutely teamwork. I mean, they have the overhead that those guys have just to keep beer and get beer out, and trucks and fuel and sales staff and POS and signage. And I mean, they've got their work cut out for them. So we want to uphold our end of the deal and make sure that we can get them the beer that they need so they can be successful with our brand.
So I have obviously deal with different people at Pepin than you do for planning this event, but I can definitely vouch every single person that I have dealt with in the last couple of years there is top-notch and amazing to work with. So I can only imagine that sort of trickles down for
Absolutely.
All the people that you have to work with.
Sure.
Do you have, this is kind of a weird question, do you have any sort of stats of sort of in the U.S., how much... like a percentage of who's drinking the Bud Miller Coors of the world versus who's drinking craft?
Well, in general, I believe right now the number, I mean, it fluctuates between 8 to 10%.
Really?
For craft, yeah. So we're, I mean, it's slowly climbing. I don't want to say slowly, it's climbing. But yeah, the fraction of craft, and that's all craft combined. So, I mean, you're taking every single, you're talking Sam Adams, Dogfish Head, you're talking all those guys combined.
So Sam Adams would be craft,
yeah,
not...
Yeah, they're still classified as craft
really?
Right now, yeah. Yeah, so it's still a very, very small percentage on the actual market that we consume.
Does that have to do with that sometimes when these craft breweries grow, that one of the bigger guys kind of swallows them up? Like, even somebody like Blue Moon, they've been, you know, Miller?
Well, Blue Moon, I believe, actually started that front with Miller. Yeah,
Miller
spinoff. Yeah, but, yeah, you know, you definitely see it. You hear it in the news, it seems to be more and more regular where some of these bigger guys are getting purchased by either venture capital or larger breweries. And you're going to, you know, I think that's great. That just shows they're building a force and they're building a brand that can compete with some of the guys that have been around much longer. And they're also exposing their beer to markets what they might not have been able to do anytime soon on their own. which is awesome. You know, we love their beer. Why can't other states love their beer? You know, and then that also just shows to us, hey, there's growth potential. You know, it's not to say that we're in any idea remotely thinking or considering or have been approached by, you know, by anybody for a purchase, but it just shows you, okay, there's right now there is still interest out there. There's still possibility for us to grow, whether on our own or whether, you know, an opportunity presents itself, not necessarily with a brewery, but, you know, I think it was absolutely incredible the move that Cigar City did. I think their brand, that's going to help their brand out incredibly, and it's going to get them into the states and the areas that they need to be in. They really need to be in. And to us, that just helps our market. You know, if somebody in North Carolina is sitting down drinking a beer from Tampa, they're going to say, man, I didn't know Florida's making beer like this. That's great. What else is down there?
You what know, exactly maybe, did they do?
So I believe it's Fireman Capital. Cigar City merged with Fireman Capital, which is like Oscar Blues, which is great. I mean, like I said, that's going to help their brand incredibly. And I think what it's going to do is it's going to start kind of shifting the focus down to the Tampa area, which we'll jump in on that Tampa area. You know, we're not far enough, 45 minutes. Come on down, folks. You know, so but a spotlight as they've been doing. I you know, I don't want to just only mention them because there's so many great breweries out there, but they seem to be the ones making a lot of the right moves and the right decisions. And just we are fans, at least you could say. Not to mention the amount of respect that they have with us or they hold with us. So, but you know.
Yeah, it's crazy that you mentioned 8-10% because I guess maybe it's just the circles that I run in, and that I would think it's like 80% craft.
Right. Yeah,
because I guess it's probably things like, you know, Bud Light has these mega deals with like Major League Baseball and NFL and stuff like that, and so when you're at a Bucks game or a Rays game or a Lightning game, like it's hard to find the other. Mm-hmm. Options. Actually, there's a Bud Light water cup right there in front of me. It's...
Thank you, Gold Coast Eagle. No, but you know that is changing. You know, as we were talking about earlier, you know, we made a beer for the Orioles. Orioles have been great to us. Green Bench out of St. Pete. They're making a beer for the Tampa Bay Rays, which will be in there this year. You know, we were at the Phillies game, the Bright House Field yesterday for a spring training game. And we were out in the very back at the craft tent. And I was talking to the girl, unfortunately and fortunately, depending on how you look at it, Circus City was sold out. She said it's one of their fastest sellers out there. So there was a cup over it. So we couldn't even go and drink our own beer there. But we were able to, a Great Bay, our distributor up there, had a great indoor area. We had a box where we were able to drink a lot of our beer. But I think it's rapidly changing. You know, we were talking to the beverage director at the Bright House Field yesterday, and he was saying, you know, I didn't expect craft to take off the way that it did, but it has. You know, to the point now where in the outfield stadium there's 15 tap handles of local craft. And then there's keg boxes all around through the stadium, adding, you know, some of the regional guys in there and some of the other locals all around. And I think we're going to see a big shift because, especially for the spring training games, when people come down from up north, you know, up north craft is not new. There's a lot more breweries up there. So when people come down, you know, they might not want to drink Bud Light. They might, and if they do, all is well. But if they want to drink craft, you know, I think they're going to be a little more vocal, and I think the stadiums are going to start seeing that, hey, you know what, we need to pay attention to this. I know the Rays have already started. Last year they were bringing in a decent amount of craft. So I think you're definitely going to start to see a shift. You know, people don't necessarily want to drink light beer. They want to drink what their palate wants at that time, you know.
Couldn't agree more. You touched on Cigar City's growth, and I want to ask you, distant future, no exact day, but just in the future at some point, would you want to see Big Top grow to a point where, you know, you can find it in stores all throughout Florida, all throughout the Southeast, up to the Carolinas? Or is there something to be said to grow to that scale, like it's not really exactly what you guys are trying to accomplish?
Right now the size of Cigar City, that's not even like a thought in our head. It'd be only because it's so far away, it's almost like it's not a reality. You know, if we can get beer throughout Florida in the next 2 years, I think that would be incredible. You know, for us, it's just constant expansion. It's just constantly adding the new tanks. But we're very conservative. You know, we're not the guys that are going to have just tanks sitting there. I mean, our tanks are not empty for more than 12 hours. Sometimes we are emptying a tank while we're brewing, cleaning it, and then, you know, 45 minutes later, beer is being transferred into it. So we've always said, you know, we don't always do things the easy way. But we're not going to have something sit there that's not being used or just have it for show, because they're expensive show pieces. We would love to be through Florida. And obviously, I think it's everyone's, or I don't want to say everyone's, because there's definitely guys out there that are, that love the idea of just being small, and that's all fine and well. I do love the idea of having our beer through Florida. There's nothing better for any brewer or any brewery owner or partner, whatever you are, to be able to go, you know, 200 miles away from your house and walk into a random either bar or restaurant or gas station and see your product there. It absolutely puts a smile on your face. And you know, as we grow and as we continue to grow to see it further and further away, sure, that'd be great to us. But right now we're keeping up with our primarily our local market, you know, pushing into other parts of the Orlando market. We're not in a race to grow. We'll let it come natural, you know, as the demand is there. We want it to be a demand. We've always told our distributors, we don't want you warehousing our beer. There's no reason for you to warehouse our beer. You know, we have our own cooler or we can send it somewhere else. So if it's natural and it fits and there's a demand, we are absolutely open to the idea of looking at other markets. But outside of Florida, I'll say, has not even become even a thought or a discussion for anyone in this brewery.
Very nice.
As our regional sales director is shaking his head. No. Don't make me drive further.
You know, and by the way, earlier when we talked about the craft beer bubble, you know, I think the idea of a neighborhood bar has been something that before any of us were even born was a thing, mm-hmm. right? And so if, you know, for example, I recently, a few months ago, moved from Seminole Heights to Carrollwood. Mm-hmm. Seminole Heights has a ton of great breweries, a ton of great restaurants. And in theory, I would like to say, you know, it's only like 8-10 miles away. I'm going to go back to those places all the time. But in reality, it's 7:30 one night. I'm hungry. I want to go grab some food. I'm probably just going to go in my little radius, right? Sure. So I don't think personally that there's a limit to how many places, breweries or craft beer bars that there can be, just because until all those little neighborhood bars are sort of infiltrated or even replaced with craft beer bars, because there's a lot of people living in a lot of little different pockets and there's a lot of territory out there. I couldn't agree more. I think, yes, there are like north of 40 breweries in the Tampa Bay area at this point, and then you guys have a handful down here in Bradenton, Sarasota. But at the same time, like, why complain about like a high quality product?
You know, right, no, exactly.
Nothing against the big guys. I mean, personally, I don't ever drink that stuff. Mm-hmm. I just don't find it to be as tasty, because look, you're like heavily invested in this product, right? And you're here all the time. Is the owner, CEO, whatever you want to call him, of Budweiser, is he at the plant every day, you know, milling over every single little detail? No. That's what happens kind of in mass production. And that's why I kind of want
around here, titles really mean nothing. I mean, right. It depends on the day. Yesterday I was a plumber, today I'll be a janitor. And I'm like, literally, you know, there's four of us, you know, Josh makes the beer, Seth makes sure the packages and we get inventory and he runs all that. And then Johnny just oversees everything. Johnny makes sure that the brewery is organized and running well and the tasting room's operating. We have so many different tasks. You know, I don't just get to do one thing. If I'm kegging beer that day, I'm kegging beer. I can honestly say for, you know, however many people are listening to this, I've touched more cans of beer than anyone. If a can came off of our canning line, 90% of the time I was at the end of it clipping it. And that's just what it takes, you know.
What is clipping it for?
Putting it into the six pack holders.
Gotcha.
So we're talking hundreds of thousands of cans that I've literally had to pick up and clip in. Someday we'll get a machine, but we're not there yet. Brett is getting ready to leave here, and as our regional sales director, he's actually going to go deliver beer and pick up beer and pick up empties. And you know, it's whatever hat needs to be worn that day is what we need to do. You're never going to find any of us sitting here saying, "Well, that's not my job title. I don't do that." I mean, that just doesn't exist in this culture, in this business. We're not the guys that were funded by millions. We didn't have it. If you see it in here, we did it. I mean, the table we're sitting at, we built this in my driveway. My kindergarten girlfriend did these floors. I mean, we called in more favors getting this place up.
You might want to clarify your kindergarten girlfriend there.
Yes. Yeah. You're... Well, you know, we had little kisses in kindergarten.
Oh, I see. I see. Okay. Gotcha. Gotcha. Just
I still know her, and she does pools, and we had to call in a favor. And I said, hey, can you help us out with doing our floors? Because this is actually a pool deck meant to look like old rustic wood floors.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
So never a dull moment here.
Very nice. Do you guys have any upcoming events to promote outside of the Oprah party?
Yes. Actually, perfect timing. We Saturday is our 2-year anniversary party here at the brewery.
April 2nd.
Yep. We will... we'll have several new beer releases. Darwin's is going to be bringing over a beer. Darwin's is out of Bradenton. Blake Willenda will be doing a high wire walk. We'll have aerial acrobats. We'll have bounce houses, you know, just all kinds of games. It's free to come in and come out and hang out. We'll have food trucks out here. It's just our way to say thank you. You know, we want to put on a show for everybody. We want somebody, you know, not everybody there might be drinking craft beer. They might want to just bring their family, as crazy as it sounds, to bring a family to a brewery. And just have a fun day that's not going to cost you much. You know, if you want to drink beer, okay, you can pay. But other than that, if you just want you or your kids to have fun, you know, come on out and have a good time.
Very cool. Anything else down the road? I know you mentioned Tuesday and Friday is kind of the day that the new taps go on.
Every Tuesday and every Friday, we release a new beer. You can follow us on Facebook, and that's when we promote what beers we have coming out. You can check on our website, BigTopBrewingCompany.com, or BigTopBrewing.com, sorry. And that's where we post. You'll see our tap list, and we try to update that as much as possible. But we encourage everybody, come on out, check out the place, and drink some good beer.
Very
and
cool.
If you can't make it down here, go support your own local brewery.
Word on that. Facebook, Twitter,
Instagram, Big Top Bruco.
Instagram,
Big Top Bruco. Yeah.
All right, cool. All right, so you could follow Yelp Tampa Bay, as I said at the beginning, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Yelp Tampa Bay as well. And again, RSVP to our event sometime before Saturday at 6:30 when RSVPs close, and you'll be really sad that you missed out on an awesome event, which, by the way, $10 suggested donation at the door per person goes to the Humane Society. So to go to an event with this many awesome local businesses for 10 measly dollars that goes to a good cause is unheard of. There's no other event like that in the Tampa Bay area. Until next time, this has been the Yelp Tampa Bay podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in.